Well, I mentioned a gym a minute ago. This might be the shortest teaching I've ever done. But, you know, I just been thinking about some of these things, you know, that we've been looking at in the Word. And you know, Jim opened last week, which is where we're going to go. You can turn to Gospel of John. He opened last week in the Gospel of John. And the thing that really struck me was how unique, how wonderful, how beautiful what's been accomplished in Jesus Christ. The world takes the Christian faith and it likens it, it lumps it in with every other faith. And says or proclaims that they all achieve the same ends. And to somebody who has never considered the Lord Jesus Christ, has never considered God's word, at first blush, okay, but nothing could be further from the truth. The Gospel of John opens with, "In the beginning was the Word," right? "And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God." That word, which is translated from a word, it's the word logos, and it is the inner thought, the desire, the plan of God. And that word, that logos, that desire of God, was initially revealed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But it continued to be revealed all through the scriptures. All through the scriptures. You will never exhaust all of the scriptures that speak of the Christ. You'll never exhaust it. You won't find them all. It's amazing. The point being this, is that Jesus Christ was foretold. He then fulfilled all that was foretold with witnesses who saw it, raised from the dead, marking him out as the promised Messiah from Genesis 3:15, and all who believe on him get Spirit of God as further proof so that you can be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God has provided so much, you know, for us to know, for us to understand. Back to John. It opens with the words "in the beginning." And these words "in the beginning," and many of you know this, are not referring to the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Nor are they referring to the beginning that commences in verse 3 of Genesis 1, which begin with the words And God said, let there be light. And that ends with the words, very good, right? But that is also not the beginning that it's referring to. Rather, the words here in this first chapter of John are referring to the words spoken at the beginning of a whole new order, a whole new arrangement due to the cataclysmic overthrow and ruin of that which God had so painstakingly prepared and set up for man. Now, we've looked back at some of these things. Satan's temporary success at enticing man to join in his rebellion gave him authority and power in the world that originally belonged to man. Everything changed. But just prior to pronouncing the resulting change in that order and arrangement, God gave his word. And that word was a vow that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. This is the word that's being referred to in the beginning. The life and light of mankind, the light that John bore witness of, and that word, that logos, was made flesh, Jesus Christ. And all of those scriptures regarding that Christ, Jesus Christ, either fulfilled or will one day fulfill. It's absolutely amazing. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4, and we're just going to look at a few really familiar scriptures. Just so amazing. You know, I love what Jim opened with regarding that C.S. Lewis book and his growth and his understanding of what praise is. How that we're invited in to praise. There are scriptures that talk about at God's feet there are pleasures forevermore. That's beyond. I know that there are people that I have had great love for, a wonderful, wonderful relationship and camaraderie with, that just being with them blesses my heart. Do you have somebody like that? It just blesses your heart. Maybe a friend or hopefully your spouse. But it just, there's a comfort there. There's just something that doesn't even touch what it's going to be like to be in God's presence. The beauty, the He is love. Our brains would blow up. It's going to take a new body. Isn't that something? And, you know, the more that we spend time in the Word, the more that we learn these things and study these things, the more we begin to appreciate the simple beauty of God. Just His beauty. And what He's done and what He's doing. And it just gets you thankful. And you go through things in life and life sucks sometimes. It just does. But life can't take that away from you. Right? Isn't that something? We have so much to be thankful for. It's something. But what did I say? Luke chapter 4. the Word in the flesh. This was after his temptations in the wilderness. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. This wouldn't last. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable or the well-pleasing year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, sat down, and all the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So they're prepared for him to expound the scriptures, to teach these scriptures, to teach what they mean. That's what it meant when he sat down. Now he's going to teach. And here's his teaching. This day is the scripture fulfilled. Ah! The Word made flesh. Here he is. I'm him. Isn't that something? Boy, I'd love to have been there. I'm going to rent out that video. This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. Probably the shortest exposition of a scripture ever given, and the most powerful. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Here we go. Beginning in verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. I just want to stop here for a moment. This is perhaps hard to imagine, but Malachi had been the last prophet, and you had 400 years of time between Malachi and John. You know, John sort of explodes on the scene with a ministry that was so powerful that he turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. You know, the purpose of that baptism was so that the Christ would be proclaimed and pointed out. But I don't know if you realize the significance of all of, you know, Israel coming out to be baptized by John. Because what they were admitting was they didn't know God. They were supposed to know God. They were very prideful about it. But John got to their hearts. And they were admitting that they needed to be renewed. Isn't that something? And he turned the people's hearts. He was preparing, which we read about in the opening chapter of John. God set all this stuff up. It's just incredible. And so the hearts are being prepared for the Christ. So, leaving Nazareth, he comes, dwells in Capernaum, Zebulun, Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, I'm not pronouncing those correctly, but that's okay. By the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw what? Boom. Can you imagine? And to them which were in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. I want to read you. You don't have to turn there. But from Isaiah 9, chapter 1, or chapter 9, verse 1. It says, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea. The land, I just love this stuff. The land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A land of deep darkness, and on them has light shone. Isn't that beautiful? The Word made flesh. And what's really something is that these two tribes were the first to be led captive. And they're the first two mentioned at the coming of Jesus Christ in that acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Oh, the beauty of God. And then just the beauty of his word. It's just so amazing. Well, there's so many things we could look at here. In verse 23 of Matthew 4, I wanted to read this. After he had chosen a couple more of his disciples, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which are lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he, what? He healed them. See? Something radical is happening. Something drastic is happening. To the end that Satan's kingdom is beginning here to be racked and ruined. Jesus Christ is upending the order or the arrangement. Isn't that something? He's turning it upside down. And we'll just look at a few more here. Matthew chapter 11. Love this record. I don't fully understand this. I don't know why, but beginning in verse 2 of chapter 11, it says, "Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come?" That's another way of saying, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that was promised? Are you the one we've been waiting for? Or do we look for another? Now, at first blush, you think, oh, John. Which is how most commentators, I think, handle it. But I don't know. It could have been that he was in prison and really wasn't getting good information. Was hearing about these. I don't know. But he sends these two disciples. And what Jesus Christ does is just, it's just so beautiful. He said unto them, "Are you that should come? Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go, show John again those things which you do hear and see." Okay. So what was going on were these healings and so on, you know, casting out of devils and all these different miracles and works that Jesus Christ was doing. You tell them the things that you've heard and see. Then verse 5, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor had the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." That's what he told these men to tell John. You tell him what you've seen, but say this. And that's what would have thrilled John's heart. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 35. "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy." Isn't that amazing? And what Jesus Christ was saying, I am him. I am the one that was prophesied here. And this is what I'm doing. Isn't that something? Again, the Word made flesh, see? Upending. And I just, you know, what Jesus Christ has done to turn things around, you know, I just don't know that we fully appreciate. We're still waiting for the redemption of our body. We're waiting for a hope. We're waiting for these things. But we have so much now that we can't lose sight of. Luke chapter 10. Okay, maybe this isn't the shortest teaching I've ever done. Luke chapter 10. Prior to this, Jesus Christ had sent out the 12 and he gave them power to heal, to cast out spirits. This was a very new thing. This is later, and he sends out in verse 1, "The Lord appoints other 70 also, and sent them two and two," or sent them in pairs, "before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now picture that. As lambs among wolves. Now what chance would a lamb have among wolves? It's beautiful. Unless that lamb is somehow led through that. Unless that lamb is somehow protected and guided. Well, let's pick it up in verse 17. There were some pretty awesome things that happened. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, lambs who had been among wolves. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now that is a significant statement. There is something drastic that is happening. This word having been made flesh, this Jesus is bringing light into a dark world and blowing the lid off this thing. Satan as lightning descending sound. So this is how Jesus reacts. This is how Jesus reacts, okay? Okay, you guys, you need to watch out. No, that's not what happens here. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are what?
Written in heaven.
Isn't that something? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. There's sort of an echo of Corinthians, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. And has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Oh, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. But we have. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's the company you and I are in because we're in Christ. Jesus Christ greatly affected and changed the order and the arrangement of the world or the cosmos. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I stand in grace. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I have entree to the throne of God to ask for help. Grace and mercy in time of need. Isn't that something? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. We have a mediator with the Father, Holy Spirit, and our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ability to walk with God, to receive information from God. We have the ability to understand God's word. We have the ability to love like Jesus Christ loved. Isn't that something? We have the ability to rescue somebody from eternal death to eternal life. To rescue somebody from the power of Satan under the power of God. We've been transferred from the exercised authority of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus Christ did all that. Isn't that amazing? So, and we'll look more into this, but so really, what is our relationship now with the world? Well, the more we put the Word of God on, the more we grow in these things, it's going to begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ's relationship with the world. Isn't that something? Because it says in John 16:33, I have overcome. I have overcome the world. That's why it can now say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Because of what Jesus Christ did, what he turned around, what he upended. Isn't that amazing? So, we should be pretty blessed, huh? Yeah, we're a blessed people. You know, regardless. Because our future, we heard it earlier, our future is absolutely secured in Christ. Nobody's going to pluck any of us out of his hand. Not going to happen. So, amen? All right. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for just what you've done and for being so good to us. And how that we've done nothing to deserve these things. And there's nothing that we will. But Father, you have bestowed these things upon us simply because we believed on Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Father, in the name of he who did this and laid down his life for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.